What's good? What's good? We are back. Another live from Vietnam Friday. Appreciate anybody that's tuning in right now on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Of course, like every Friday, we got nothing but guest interviews. And looks like our guest is about to come on here real soon. I see his screen just popped up, but I don't see his camera. Okay, there he goes. So before I bring on the guest, I want to tell a quick little story. When I was like 16 years old, I was on a run from the police. And we only had like 3 cassette singles in our possession the whole time we was on a run. One of them was like a King T Way Out There single. I think the other one was Boogeyman. Not Boogie Monsters, but Boogeyman. And the other one we played over and over and over again. And that was the Rotten Rascals. Oh, yeah. So let me bring them on right now. The one and only Diesel from the Rotten Rascals. Diesel, what's good, man?
What up, Paul?
What up?
How you?
I'm doing good. How you doing tonight? Can you hear me?
Too blessed to complain, man. Everything's a blessing, bro. You know we here. Y'all hear you? Can you hear me?
Yeah. You hear that little story I told when I was on a run from the police? We had
your joint freezing, Paul. If you can hear me, I see you on the screen. Your joint freezing, bro.
Oh, it's freezing up on you?
Yeah. You going in and out? Am I clear?
Yeah, everything's clear on my end. It seems like the connection's kind of lagging a little bit.
You there now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in the trenches down in Hilltown, baby, so you know.
Let's start here. The Rotten Rascals, like, how did y'all form?
Yes, sir. Well, basically, myself and fam, like, we go back to elementary school. We played on the same Pop Warner football team, right? Mm-hmm. So we was always friends throughout the years. We got a little distance as we got older, but when I started rapping, like, my man Mook from East Orange High, K's younger brother, took me to K, like, yo, bro, rap, I spit for him. He was feeling it, and it just so happened that fam was dating KG's sister, Angie, you know? So okay. We used to be on the block, whatever, I write rhymes. I might get stuck for a half a second, and fam would be like, yo, here, give me a couple of bars. I'm like, you know what, that fit, you know what I mean? So eventually, I'm like, bro, you need to start rhyming. You always hear when I'm writing and you putting your 2 cents in. He's like, nah, I can't do that. To make a long story short, that's how the Rotten Rascals started as a group.
And who came up with the name?
Oh, Trigger Tretch.
Okay, that's what's up.
We was in Neo. I think it was the 1993 album.
Uh-huh.
The 1993 album, and we was like, we did a couple of songs, right? So he dropped the verse, and at the end of the verse, we was on the song and never came out. He was like, Hilltown Rotten Rascals. So me and fam just looked at each other because we was trying to figure out a name for the group. And we was like, oh, the Rotten Rascals. That sound like something.
Yeah. So y'all first appeared on the 1993 Knock 'Em Out the Box song. How'd y'all guys end up on that song?
Well, just like I was telling you the story, Naughty was working on that album. Me and fam had just formulated the group, really, and we did about maybe 3 cuts, I think, for that album, and Knock 'Em Out the Box was the one that made it. I don't know what happened to the other joints, but previously before that, on the Flavor Unit compilation, Roll With the Flavor, we did a song. What was the name of that song? I think that was our first studio recording that we put out, what was heard to the mass public. Enough's Enough. Yeah. Enough's okay. Enough was the name of the record.
So y'all featured on the album. What's the process like after that, trying to get a record deal?
Well, basically, we were so loyal to the camp. You know, this was Naughty's second album they were working on. And Kay was our producer and also our executive producer. So he took care of all the shopping the deals for us or whatever. And I got a tidbit maybe a couple of months ago that I was unaware of when he signed us to Mad Sounds, which is a division of Motown. Yeah. He didn't want to sign us to that label because he felt like, you know, they couldn't handle a hip hop group. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
And it came to fruition later that they couldn't. But, you know, he was getting pressure from his brother, Poop, and from our road manager, Skeek, because we had one foot in, one foot out. Like, he's like, yo, if you don't get him signed now, ain't no telling what'll happen to him because, you know, they doing some things they shouldn't be doing. And you don't want them to get cased up. So he wound up, you know, going with Motown Mad Sounds, and you know, the rest is kind of history. They ain't really pushed us like we needed to be pushed. So a lot of people missed out on that music we put out.
Yeah, because I had a question further down. I guess I'll go ahead and ask it, because I mean, your singles charted very, very well.
Go ahead, we freestyling, baby.
Yeah, the singles charted very, very well, but it seemed like the albums didn't chart as well. So was the marketing was totally lacking?
So I think it was one of two things. I think being a new division of hip hop, being based in California, we was from Jersey, you know, right outside of New York. They really didn't know how to work us, right? But also, not long after we signed with that division, Mad Sounds, they folded. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so
man.
People saw the ink on the wall and knew what was coming. So they only put what they put into it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Now, the first album, it says producer Naughty by Nature on the Discog. So did KG do most of the beats though?
He did all the beats.
All the beats.
He gave us some heat. He gave us some bangers.
Yeah, so he basically he produced Life of a Bastard too then, right?
Yup. Mm-hmm.
That's
sure
actually
did.
One of my favorite joints
the whole
on
album.
There. That's one of my favorite joints on there. Now, what was the process of picking the single? Like, who decided, oh, yeah, was the joint?
KG, he was the executive producer. I'll give you a little tidbit, right? So the second single, Hey, All Right, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the exclusive, Paul, because you my man's in them. All of North Cagalaga, right?
Yeah.
I hated that record. I didn't write that record for the Rock and Rascals. Like, he had a group which wound up being illegal with Jamal and Little Malik.
And Malik,
right?
Yeah.
I wrote that record for them. Yeah, I wrote that record for them, right? It got kicked down the line. We tried to offer it to the youngsters, right? They ain't want it. So, Kay, like, we gonna put that on y'all album. I'm like, no, we not. That ain't no Rascal record. He like, oh, it's going on there. I bet you it go on there. So I took a stance. Like, I wrote the record. I took a stance.
Yeah.
Like, well, I ain't going to perform it. So that's how Fam wound up performing the whole record.
And that's the second single, right? That's the one you're talking about,
right,
the second
y'all.
Single?
We was on the boat and the hat flew off and all that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I always wondered why you were never on that song, but that clarifies it. And I mean, if you ain't feeling a record, I don't think you should get on it.
I did. And hence you see the record is performed by Fam did the performance on the record.
Now
I ain't put no vocals on there.
What would you say is the main reason there was no follow-up album from you guys?
Well, actually it was, but it was underground and we released it on our own. Back at that time, we were selling it out the trunk. We were selling it on the tour while we was on tour with Naughty. The name of the album was The Grizzly Grind. You can find it on the Rotten Rascals YouTube. And if you follow the Rotten Rascals on all platforms, it's out there. I recently put it out a couple of years ago. We'll put it back out.
Okay. And so y'all basically pushed that independently. And then when streaming came about, y'all just add it to like YouTube and stuff like that later.
Came out what?
I said, y'all basically like put it out independently at first, and then later when the streaming platforms kind of hit out, decided to upload it later.
Yeah, yeah. Because I found, you know, I stepped away from the game for quite a while, bro, for my own personal reason. Because like I said, in the CD form, we was selling it overseas when we was touring with Naughty, and through the internet, you know, and social media, it was like a little demand for the record. And then when the streaming platforms came on, you know, I figured out how they... So I put that out, and there's some other like exclusive joints that you never heard from the Rotten Rascals that's out right now. If you go on YouTube, make sure you subscribe Rotten Rascals YouTube or follow Rotten Rascals on your favorite streaming platform. You can hear the butters.
And I want to shout out my guy that just commented, James Harness. This is the guy who was on the run with me from the Police when we only had your single, the King T, and the Boogie Man single. So, I seen now. Are you in Tretched Brothers?
Yeah, that's my biological older brother.
That's what I thought.
Same mom.
So yeah. You were around when they were New Style, right?
Absolutely.
Can you tell us about that some?
I was around when they was New Style, and he used to be in the bathroom writing rhymes with his box because of the acoustics. And I used to stand outside the bathroom having to pee. He did not care neither. He wanted to write his rhymes in there because of the acoustics. Yeah, New Style. It's funny that you mentioned that. Big up to Naughty by Nature. Congratulations, because today in our hometown, Ill Town, East Orange, in the very park where we all hung out at, they got the basketball courts named after him. So it was a big day.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Now, you was on the Poverty Paradise album, correct?
I'm still living. Okay. Yeah. We did a joint called Us Working on that joint.
Did you win a Grammy from that one? Did you get a Grammy
from
that? I
didn't win a Grammy personally, but Naughty, that was a Grammy winning record from Naughty. Nah, I ain't get no Grammy.
So featured artists don't get Grammys? Feature artists don't get Grammys like on a album like that?
I didn't get it. I don't know. I mean, they got it, but I didn't get one, you know.
Yeah.
You know what Q-Tip said? Industry rule number 4080. I don't know. I might have supposed to get one, Paul.
Record companies are shady. Yeah, because Minnesota produced on that record. He said he got a Grammy. But I would think if you were featured on there, you should get a Grammy, too.
Look at my face. Word, Minnesota got a Grammy. I ain't get no Grammy, school. I ain't get no Grammy.
Yeah, because I just interviewed him recently, and when I asked him when he got the Grammy off, I thought it was the Big Punt record, and he said, nah, it was Naughty by Nature, Poverty's Paradise. And I totally forgot that they won a Grammy off of that.
Wow. Which record did he do?
I forgot which record. I forgot which one he produced. It wasn't one of the singles. It was definitely one of the album joints. Now,
Was it an album track?
Yeah, it was an album track.
It was an album track and he got a Grammy?
Yeah, yeah.
I think somebody owed me a Grammy, Paul. We got to look into
it. That's what I'm saying. Well, I might have to get off here and Google some things when we get off this interview. And you might be. That's why I was asking. Like, I never knew a feature artist get Grammys on albums that get Grammys. I would think they should. I mean, that's just my opinion. So,
yeah, so you do the research, bro, and holler at your bro. Let me know. You heard?
Are you and Chap and Fam, y'all still cool?
Say that again.
Are you and Chap and Fam still cool?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Chap. Yeah, yeah. So, I'm sort of kind of an introvert. Nah, I'm not sort of kind of I am, right? But Chap is like a hermit. Chap don't come outside. But I spoke to him not too long ago. That's still my man. I actually saw a Fam today at the ceremony for the groundbreaking for the Naughty by Nature basketball court. We all cool. You know, we just on our grown man doing what grown men do.
They don't do music at all no more?
Chap, definitely not. I think Fam is doing beats. And shout out to my nephew, Keezy. I heard he put a project out not too long ago. But as far as rocking. I think Fam just doing beats now.
Okay.
And, which lead me to this.
Go ahead.
My solo album, Diesel Was Dope, is on platforms right now. Go Google it because it's hard to find. Diesel Was Dope, my solo album I put out not too long ago, is out right now on all platforms.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you because I reviewed two songs and I was wondering if you were going to put out a whole album. And when did that release?
Oh, maybe like a year ago, if not like close to a year ago.
And who's doing the production?
But if you ain't heard it, it's all brand new, so go check it out.
Are you doing the production?
No, I had some production from my man Kaz that passed away out of
Mappy
Studio. My man Jack B got a banger on there, like it's a single, dope. Diesel Was Dope, and my man Crazy K. The beats is banging on there. The whole joint is dope, if I must say so myself. Like check it out.
And do you plan to like continue releasing music in the future?
God damn, connection is crazy. There you go.
Yeah, you you plan on releasing music in the future?
Give a mic.
You don't plan on releasing music in the future?
Yeah, so actually, I just recently released something. I just recently released a collaborative joint with Code Keepers, which just so happened that, you remember Kakloud Kakloud? The Cruddy Click?
Yeah.
Mike Moore, a.k.a. Gut. Yeah, I just released a record called Code Keepers with them over the symphony beat. It's like a rendition. It's banging off kind of bonkers right now. You might need to check that out, the Code Keepers.
Now, we had a few cats from Jersey on recently. We had a Pace One. We had Elder Sensei last week. Do you feel like Jersey,
my guy.
Jersey gets overlooked a little too much in hip-hop?
So, initially, back in the day when we was grinding, like the early to mid-90s, yeah. But Naughty kicked in the door. Then came 235 More, Living Rotten to the Core. You had the Fugees. You had Artifacts. You got Red Man. You got Pace One and the Outsider. So Jersey staked this claim in hip-hop history. Not to mention the Sugar Hill Gang. Like, when I was a baby, like, I didn't even know that back then they was from Jersey.
I didn't know that either.
See?
Jersey, it definitely is like, if New York was number one, we'd have to put Jersey at number two, right? Yo, you didn't hear me?
That jump froze again, Paul. You said if New York was number one,
we'd have to put Jersey at number two, right?
New York was number one.
We'd have to put Jersey at number two, right?
So this is the thing. This is the thing. Y'all down here in North Carolina. So more times than less, because of the regional and the closeness of proximity, Jersey gets clustered in right with New York. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, y'all right there, man. It's like y'all go over the bridge, y'all right there.
20 minutes away from Manhattan. 20 minutes. Minutes away from Manhattan. I could look out the door and see New York.
Now, can you speak on Naughty a little? Isn't Naughty like looking to try to get back together and do an album or something?
Well, you know, they having their differences or whatever.
That's
it's
what
crazy
I heard.
Because Vince spoke on this together. They were all together earlier, right? He spoke on this earlier. Yeah. And, anything is possible, bro. You know what I'm saying? They grown men. They grew certain different directions, but money is the law, and there's still money on the team, dude. So if money don't do it, I don't know what else will.
Yeah, and the fact that they're having issues, it just shows you that, like, any group can have issues in this business.
Absolutely. 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 You know what Biggie said? More money, more problems.
Yeah, because I've always said that Vin was like the ultimate like role player or guy that understood like the pecking order of things. I mean, it was Tretch, and then Vin, and he didn't mind that, you know what I'm saying? So the fact that they got issues is just like, it's really crazy to me.
Yeah, you know, them the big bros, and shout out to all three of them. Tretch is my biological, but all them jokers is my brother, so I don't really get too much in the middle of what they got going on or what their differences is, you know what I mean? But like you as a fan, I hope they get it together and come back together and do what they need to do, because it's still money on the world for them. It's still people asking to book them for shows and all types of stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, did you listen to LL's album? Yo, did you check out LL's album?
Y'all listen to what?
LL Cool J's new album.
I did not, actually. I didn't. I heard the cut he did with Fat Joe, and I think it was Rick Ross. But I did not check out the whole album. Yeah, I heard that. I think I forgot the name of it, but I did hear it.
It's called Force. It's doing very well. It goes to show LL's 50 something years old, and he's still coming out and doing numbers. I mean, Naughty's still got, you know, years left, man, if they just come back together and drop an album.
So it's
tour money.
You say that because, not to cut you off, it's interesting you say that because the hip hop we grew up on, that generational music is coming back, and that it's a demand for the old school artists, bro. Like, you know what I mean? So it's the evolution of hip hop, because remember they used to say after a certain age you shouldn't be rapping no more. That's null and void now. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I've always said my philosophy is it's a young man's game to get on, and it's an old man's game to stay on. That's always been my philosophy, because like longevity has never always been a thing in this business, you know? And so you got to be a smart old man to, I mean, Eminem, 1 billion streams in 3 months. He's almost 50 years old if he's not already 50. LL drops. I mean, probably got one of the best albums of this year, you know. Common and Pete Rock. I mean, I think they got the album of the year, to be honest with you, you know. And
Nas, not too long ago. Nas put out something, what, last year?
Yeah, he got he's on King's Disease like 4, I think, 5 now, you know.
4.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
There's definitely a demand. No, because people are tired of this repetitive sound, man. Like, it's getting old, man.
Right.
It's getting old. Right. It's getting old.
And what a lot of people outside of you and I don't realize, like, that's not coming from us. That's some jokers in the corporate boardroom determining what they're going to push. And so when the artists see that, they try to emulate that sound because they know that's what's being pushed. It ain't from the heart. You know, but you got LL and the jokers from our generation and our era pushing the sincere music from the heart. And it came back around to that.
Would you agree that it's way more copycat than ever nowadays?
Oh, yeah. It's no originality.
Yeah, none.
You have to have style and learn to be original, or everybody's going to want to diss you. Now it's the opposite. Like, you got to come sounding like the next man.
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of blamed the beat software. Like, people got away from the keyboards a little too much, like the ASR-10s and the Tritons and stuff like that. And once they went to straight software, it like limited the sounds and what they knew how to use or what they were using, in my opinion.
So that's only one spectrum. Like, you got to think about the lyrics and the song material too, though. So that ain't got nothing to do with the technology of beat making. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the lyrics, like, is definitely.
You know, I'm
50
years old.
Go ahead.
I don't want to hear no more kill 'em, bang bang.
Yeah, and Chuck D was talking about that, like, when rappers get like to a certain age, like, how are you still rapping this gangster and this thug stuff, man? Like, we know you like probably married with kids by now, settling down.
That part, bro. I gotta get up and stretch every morning just to get it going. I ain't talking no gangster talk, bro. Go ahead with that, man.
And I know you we pushed the interview back to 7:30 and whatnot. because of prayer and whatnot. So your spiritual journey, how long you been on that?
I think not too long after we put the project out, maybe like 1997, I converted to Islam and I really started practicing it heavy, probably about 20 years ago. So yeah, the spiritual journey, man. Yep. That's all growth and maturity though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You familiar with Rex, right?
Who's that?
Rex. You familiar with Rex? R-E-K-S.
Where he from? Jersey?
I think he's from New York, actually. He's an underground cat. He's been doing his thing for a while. We interviewed him recently, and he's been on a spiritual journey for a while. Very, very spiritual, man, with it, man. I think anything that puts anybody in a positive mind state is the winner chicken dinner, man. I don't care what it is. I don't knock nobody's religion. I grew up in the church, you know what I'm saying? But I think like everybody got to have a positive mindset, especially going with the way the world's going right now. And how do you feel about that, man? Yeah. Like the country, man, the country kind of like,
yeah, I agree.
We kind of went backwards, right?
It's so much going on in the world today that they're keeping us distracted from, bro. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? We worried about Trump and Harris and Diddy, but what are they doing? There's something going on that they're distracting us from, bro. And it's good and evil. No matter if you're religious or not, you can clearly see that today's era is good and evil, and it's a struggle going on, bro. Like, so you got to be connected and grounded.
I was watching a movie today, and they said something in the movie where the guy said, nobody cares if the news is true anymore. They only care if it's entertaining. And I was like, that is so true today, man. They just care if the news is entertaining.
So look, to touch not to get too political, because you know people be getting their feelings, but all this, this side or that side, him or her, they all connected to the same bird, bro. They answer to the same people. And a lot of people don't realize that all of the major media outlets is owned by the same individuals, bro. So they just keeping us separated to keep our attention away from what they doing, because if we start paying attention to what they doing, they have beef with us all. So they keeping us separated, man. Divide and conquer.
Yeah, I would say their plan is working far better than it has in my lifetime. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's a sign of the times, bro. It's a sign of the times, man. Remember the Matrix, bro? The Matrix wasn't just the movie, bro. The Matrix, The Wizard of Oz, is all connected, bro. Like, because this alternate reality we live in, it ain't really real, bro. Especially now with the social media and the technology, bro. This ain't real.
Even the money system is part of the Matrix. I mean, it's just a piece of paper with some white dudes' faces on it that we put some value to that doesn't really have value at all.
Yep. It's all fraud.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, that's the thing. I think hip-hop is really shedded a lot of light on those topics more than most genres. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. But that's why. So, listen. I'm glad you said that. Hip hop, right? That's why they corporatized and came with rap. Rap and hip hop is totally different, right?
Yep.
So they pushing this rap because the rap is going to keep you away from the hip hop that will set you free. They can control you with this rap. Wear this, buy that, act like this, wear a ski mask, kill the ops, spin the block. They controlling you.
Yeah.
Subliminally. But hip-hop is talking freedom. Hip-hop is speaking from here and here. So they got that underground. You understand what I'm saying?
And hip-hop's supposed to be about unity, too. And there's a lot of divisive topics out there. Even, like, I think Lil Jamar, when he brought up the thing about the Puerto Ricans, I felt like it wasn't necessary. I felt like it was just divisive. It wasn't a topic. It wasn't nothing that anybody was discussing, man, until KRS-One says something and then one person feels the need to reply, you know? I just think like,
so this is it. This is what it is. We could agree to disagree, right?
Yeah.
Because that promotes good conversation, right?
Yeah.
But as long as it don't go left, you know what I mean? I think it's all positive, bro. You have an opinion. I have an opinion. We put our both opinions on the table. But at the end of the day, that's all it is opinion, because nobody was right there to see, you know what I mean, the very roots and beginning. We going off of what we told, and everything that we told wasn't accurate. So KRS-One is telling it from what he heard. Jamar is telling it from what he heard, because, you know, them brothers a little than me, but I'm quite sure they wasn't right there with Cool Herc when everything was popping off. You feel me?
Yeah. I think the problem I have with that is the times are so sensitive that anything divisive just triggers and it tends to go left. And that's why you see like cats like Crazy Legs and what's my man, the Puerto Rican, Thurston Howell. They still, you know, they still got to talk about it, because, you know, I mean, it's just a device. It's just another like way to divide, I think, hip hop in general. Even like with the lady asking Method Man, like, do you think this reflects on hip hop with Diddy? And it's like, what are we doing here, man? Like, just because a guy made hip hop, we got to, you know, vilify all of hip hop. You still there? Diesel. Can you hear me?
So you got to know, it's dead. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Paul.
Yeah, I can hear you.
You lost me? All right.
Yeah, froze for a little bit.
I was saying that's their job. Yeah, that's their job to keep us divided, bro. And it's our job to keep us unified, bro. You know what I mean? So they're going to do their part to keep us where they want us at, right? And we got to do our part to get to where we need to be.
Yep.
You know, free of their grip so we can practice our art form the way we want to practice it.
Well, I appreciate you taking time out your schedule, man. Any shout-outs you want to do before we let you go?
Appreciate you having me. Yep. Appreciate your platform, you sharing this platform with me. Shout-out to Naughty by Nature. Shout-out to Code Keeper. Shout-out to Biko Black. Shout-out to Ill Town East Orange. Shout-out to everybody in the sound of my voice. Follow me on Instagram, The Real Diesel MC. Like and subscribe to YouTube channel, Rotten Rascals. There's a whole lot of work on there, including my solo album and the Code Keeper song I was talking about. Shout out to East Orange Campus Jaguars, for whom I am a coach, and we playing our rivals Montclair tomorrow. We're going to put our foot so far up in there. You know what I'm saying? And again, thanks to you. I appreciate you, bro.
Oh, somebody wanted to ask a question. They commented real quick. They said, I was going to ask Diesel, is he still in contact with Cruddy Click?
Yeah, so like I was saying, I am still in contact with Cruddy Click. I saw both of them today. And the song Code Keepers is out on Rotten Rascal platform right now. Gutter from Cruddy Click leads off the record. So check that out. It's called Code Keepers. Who that? Yeah, John Jones. I saw that piece of jersey. Peace.
Yeah, John Jones and Chris Porterfield. Just some hip-hop heads from Vietnam out here.
I appreciate y'all. I appreciate y'all, man. We got a lot of love from the Cackalackas back in the day, man.
Of course,
YouTube and check it out.
Of course, man. North Carolina, yeah. Man. We loved everybody from New York, man.
Yo, y'all showed Jersey, a lot of love,
and
bro.
Jersey and Philly and Boston. I mean, we loved everybody. West Coast, Texas, Midwest.
And y'all was on some real hip-hop.
Yeah.
Y'all was on some real hip-hop.
Yep. Well, appreciate you, man. Enjoy
Thank
the
you.
Rest of your night, man.
You too. Also, Bang Bang Niner Gang.
Oh, okay. You're a 49er fan. Okay.
Look in the video. Oh, yeah, video. I got the 49er shirt on back when Ricky Waters and then won the Super Bowl.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. I'm going to go check that out again.
Paul, I appreciate you having me on, bro. Check out. Look, because I know you a hip-hop head, bro.
Yeah.
It's a lot of new releases on that Rotten Rascal YouTube. Check them out. Holler back at me. Let me know what you think, bro.
Will do, man. And I'm going to keep in touch, man.
Yes, sir. Make sure you do. Peace and love, y'all. All
right. Peace.
Peace.
Well, there we have it. Another one in the books. Diesel from Rotten Rascals. I was literally on the run, man, at age 16. Only had three cassette singles. It was King T, Boogeyman, and the Rotten Rascals. Oh, yeah. We played the hell out of that record over and over again, man. Definitely loved the energy on that record. Was a little lag in the interview, I think, because it seemed like he was on a laptop. And when you're on a laptop, you got to throw on the headphones. You got to have headphones on. And I actually should have caught that. But, you know, it was probably last minute. Appreciate John Jones and Chris Porterfield for tuning in. Appreciate everybody on Instagram. Before I go, I want to talk about, I guess, the news of the week, the Diddy shit. I don't want to speculate at all. I will say that it's not looking good for Diddy based on the charges. It's not looking good. You got Boosie out here saying he's getting locked up for what every other celebrity entertainer is doing. Well, I hope not if the allegations are true. Because what they're saying, they're not just saying Diddy's like flying chicks out, like he's flying some chick out just to have sex. They said that he was sex trafficking, which means prostitution ring. I know, like, when you do any crime across state lines, it's far worse. It's far worse, you know. The time is worse. The years they add on are worse. I know this. I don't want to, like, people are praying for his downfall. They want to kick him while he's down. They literally had the documentary, The Downfall of Diddy, before he even gets locked up. Like, I like to wait till somebody's, like, fully, you know, found guilty with their charges before I just, like, decide, hey, let me go ahead and, you know, speak on these assumptions and these allegations. I do know that people are trying to make a connection with all these CEOs that pretty much decided they were going to step down, like Kevin Lyle. It's not, and that's the thing, it's not even music industry CEOs. Like Kevin Lyle stepped down, and people are trying to, you know, tie that in with a Diddy. All these other CEOs that pretty much stepped down all at once, and all these other businesses, you know, they saying that they're pretty much, it's all Diddy related. I'm not gonna lie, the timing is awkward and weird, but it's not looking good for Diddy. Racketeering, sex trafficking. I mean, that's pretty much like prostitution ring, kidnapping. When you start getting kidnapping charges, oh man, like you looking at years. You're looking at years. So I will say this. If Diddy ends up like dying soon or something like that, man, there's no way, no how you're going to make me believe that he committed suicide. There's no way, no how you're going to make me believe that he committed suicide. I heard where he's locked up at isn't really the best place to be locked up out federally. I heard there's a lot of killings going on in there, and it's pretty, pretty rough. So, like John Jones said, no bail is serious. No bail is serious, especially when you're talking about somebody who offered $50 million bail. Yeah, that's serious. But I'm not one to kick a man while he's down. I don't wish and pray on nobody's downfall. I don't wish death on my worst enemies, which I don't really got enemies. But I don't wish death on nobody. I don't really wish prison time on nobody. But if you do the crime, be prepared to do the time, because society has laws. Even though I don't agree with man's law, all of man's laws, I probably don't agree with most of man's laws. I follow them just for the simple fact they have consequences. I'm not dumb enough to say I'm going to break all these laws and risk my freedom, because I enjoy not being in jail. You know, I spent one night in jail in my life, and it was the most degrading shit ever. It's the most degrading shit ever. Grown man stripping you down, butt ass naked, watching you shower. They throw me in a cell with one bunk, one toilet, three heads. Three people in one bunk, one toilet. The most degrading shit ever. Dudes sitting there watching dudes piss and take shits in front of each other. Two motherfuckers sleeping on the floor, one motherfucker sleeping on the bunk. And I actually lucked out and got the bunk because the dude was sleeping on the floor, which was crazy to me. Like, why would you not take the bunk? Why would you just sleep on the floor? Maybe I had something about the bunk I didn't know, you know. Maybe something about the bunk that I totally didn't know, because it was my first night in jail. But like, yeah, man, that shit is so degrading. Little ass cell. You can't move nowhere. Literally can't get no sleep your first night in jail unless you're somebody who's just like lived in jail most of your life and you're just used to it. I mean, it's like up all night, can't get no sleep. Don't even want to eat nothing. Don't want to shit in front of nobody, because it's degraded, man. It's just so degraded, man. So yeah, man, it's not looking good for Diddy. Not looking good. The charges are serious. The feds say they got enough information. When the feds come after you, man, it's never looking good. It's never ever looking good. But yeah, we're gonna wrap it up, man. Appreciate Diesel from the Rotten Rascals coming on tonight. As you heard, he's actually the biological brother of Tretch. So he's been there for the whole Naughty by Nature movement when they were New Styles, Naughty by Nature, the first album, second album. And you know, KG was executive producer, produced the whole album for the Rotten Rascals, and they're very significant to my life because it was one of the only songs I had to listen to when I was on the run for the police. And this is around the time when Natural Born Killers came out, because we literally watched that movie like back to back in a hotel room in Cedar Creek while we was on the run for the police, you know what I'm saying, for like a week. And not going to criminate myself with whatever charges that I was on the run for. But even though it's a statute of limitation, because I was like 16 years old and now I'm 45, so it's not like they could lock me up. But I'm not in the business of, you know, putting my dirt out there like that, even though I did live a life of crime as a young buck following other people's leads. But thanks again to Diesel. As soon as I get off here, I'm going to start clipping up some clips. And I think the interview will come out straight, because even though there was a lag, I was able to kind of just pause and wait till he catches the lag and basically been able to answer the questions thoroughly. And definitely going to keep in touch with Diesel. And go check out the album, like you said, on Rotten Rascals YouTube. Said they got new music on there. And the second album was actually released on there that, you know, a lot of people might not have known about. Appreciate y'all tuning in for another episode. And don't forget tomorrow, music reviews. Music reviews tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern time. 3 p.m. Eastern time, we're doing music reviews. And I'm definitely not going to do as many songs as I did yesterday, that's for sure. Well, appreciate y'all tuning in. Everybody tuning in on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Peace, and I'm out.